Works. Good morning, church.
Morning.
All right, why don't you guys say, be holy with me.
Be holy.
Be holy.
Be holy.
Be holy. As Christians, as believers, we are called to be set apart. Last week, Jody did a great, had a great message about what that looks like, being set apart. And I just wanted to say that it's not easy. Just in case that you came in here and you left yesterday or last week kind of feeling like, wow, how can I make that happen? How can I be holy? How can I live a life that is set apart? Just for encouragement's sake, it is not easy. Okay, and it's okay to say that, right? It's not easy. So for me personally, I spend my days trying to be the best Steve that I can. When I'm at work, when we're out on the basketball court, when you're out with your friends and you're having fun, I try to be the best representation of Jesus that I can be, right? And it's not easy. It's hard. Sometimes it's a lot harder than other times to be that light in the darkness, to be somebody that when someone looks at your life and sees what you're doing and sees how you're talking, that they see Jesus, okay? But that is something that we're called to do, that when anyone looks at your lives as believers, as Christians, they should be able to see Jesus, right? Now, how much Jesus, that's between me and you and God and where you're at in your Christian walk, but that somebody should be able to take away something and say, hey, that person's different. That person, there's something different about that person, right? So like I said, I try to live my life on the light. I try to be the light in the darkness. I try to love those around me the best I can. I try to stand out. I try to just do things differently than what the world does, no matter where I'm at, okay? So I'm trying to live out this Christian life in such a way that people can see Jesus. Can we say amen to that?
Yeah.
That should be our goal. Now, I do want to say that this world makes it very, very hard to do that, okay? Things in this world like Walmart, okay? You guys thought something serious was going to happen. Walmart makes my life as a Christian very, very difficult. I'm not lying. You guys might think, oh, he always has the Walmart thing. It's just because Walmart always does something to me. It's Christmas season. Jess and I don't have a Christmas tree. I want to buy a Christmas tree. Okay, Jess and I are debating, should we buy a Christmas tree this year? We bought one last year. We gave it away. Do we really need a Christmas tree? The twins are probably going to, you know, pull it down on themselves, you know. Should we get a Christmas tree? I go to Walmart.com. I don't shop online. I think it's silly, and it never works out the way it should, right? So I go on Walmart.com. I see a Christmas tree. It's $55. Originally, $90. So I'm like, that's a good deal. $50. I have a gift card. You know, that's why I picked Walmart, because I had a gift card. Now I'll pay $15 for this Christmas tree. Sweet. I go online, $55, I put the gift card information in. As I'm about to put in my debit card information, the thing freezes. Fun. Thank you, Walmart. So then I go back on .com, look for the Christmas tree. It's not there anymore. Before I did that, though, I screenshotted it, sent it to Jess, said, hey, Jess, you like this tree? It's only $55. It's pretty good. So then I can't find a tree anymore. It's gone. Thank you, Walmart. So I sign on again. I'm looking for it. I finally see it, and now it's back a rollback price of $80. So it's still a rollback price. It's at a discount, but that $55 is now gone. Thanks a lot, Walmart. So I call them, and I say, hey, I have a screenshot of the price. Just a second ago, it was $55. It was in my shopping cart. I paid it with the gift card. I'm now trying to finish off the payment. It's not working. It's not there. Oh, there's nothing we can do about that. Thank you, Walmart. Okay, so I'm debating if I should go to the store and talk and see if they have it, because I know a lot of Christmas trees they're sold out, right? You can't get the nice ones anymore. So I finally say, you know what? All right, I'm not talking to this lady on the phone because she's making me mad. I'm going to go talk to a person in person. I go see the Christmas tree. I talk to the assistant manager because I don't want to deal with anybody. I'm like, let's just talk to the manager. Let's get it over with. I tell him the situation. I show him my phone. I say, hey, look, this is the tree. There's the price. It's in my shopping cart. I was in the middle of purchasing it. Can I buy it at this price? No, you can't buy it at the price. What do you mean? Like, I was in the middle of buying it. It's not working for me. No, definitely not that. I'll figure it out. So they were just giving me a problem. They said, we don't price match. I say, yes, you do. I hear price matching from Walmart all the time. I say, well, whatever's online, the price online is the price. And I said, I know. That's why I'm trying to get it for $55. They're like, oh, you know, it could have been a glitch. This probably was a glitch. Someone probably made a mistake over there at the .com. And I said, great. But that's the price. I don't care whose fault it was. It was there. I was in the middle of buying it. So right before I can RKO the lady, I just said, you know what? It's not important. Maybe, okay, this year we're not getting a Christmas tree. It's not happening. I looked for the tree. It wasn't there. I was like, you know what? It's not going to happen. Whatever. Walmart makes me mad. I'm gonna be the better person and not RKO any people, and I'm going to walk out. Eventually, someone came and overheard our conversation. They helped me. I got the price for the price I wanted, $55 for the Christmas tree. Praise God. Nobody was harmed or RKO'd in the process. But it's funny, though, like just little things of that nature that just kind of irk us and just poke us and push us and pick at us. And little things like that happen throughout our day where we kind of just feel like, what is happening? Like, why is stuff happening to me? Right? A couple of months ago, I got my car stolen. And that's a funny story in itself. I'm not going to tell the whole story because my wife's here. Me and my wife have made up since then. I'm trying to work. I got my new job. I love it. It's cool. Everything's going good. Serving the Lord. Church is going good. Family's doing great. I go out of Ross. My car's gone. Now, this has happened to me before where I thought my car has been stolen. I couldn't find it. So I figured, all right, it's stolen. It's gone. I was in my car at that time. All gone. Why, God? Why? Why? Like, why? What's going to happen, right? Like, why is this happening to me? Why now? What am I supposed to do? Long story short, I do find my car. I do find everything in it. Very long story. If you'd like to hear the story, you can ask Jody the story. I can't. I got time. No one got time. But bad things are happening. Why are bad things happening? Have you ever asked that question? Like, God, I'm serving you. I'm loving you. Things are going good in certain ways. And then something always comes and like right hook when you're not looking. Why? Why is this happening? Same thing. I got this message on Monday and preparing my message. My washer breaks. I can't make this stuff up. Right? My washer's broken. Why? Why does this stuff happen? When you're trying to move forward, when you're trying to worship Jesus, you're trying to live your life for him the best that you can, and then it just seems like the whole world is just crashing in on you, kicking you in the gut, trying to do whatever it can that you can't move forward. Why does that happen? Now, I know my examples and some of the things have been very minuscule, very small. Okay, I don't want to say that this is the world ending in my life because of these things are happening. But I have been in positions where I have felt that this trial is too big for me. This suffering, this pain that I'm feeling is too much. I don't know where God is. Yeah. Right? Have anyone had those feelings or those thoughts where we're just thinking, what in the world is happening? Thanks for the count, Mike. You're trying to walk forward. You're trying to do things for God. You're trying to live for the Lord, and then you break your leg. Then your car gets stolen. Then somebody gets sick. It's just, why does it happen? I mean, I'm sure we've all had people in our lives that say, if God is so good, why do bad things happen to people? How many of us have heard that question?
Yeah, for sure.
Sad thing is I don't know the answer to that. I don't know why bad things happen. I know we live in a fallen world. I know we live in an evil world. I know we live where people are trying to hurt people and try to do things to people. I do know that, but I do know that our Savior is good. I do know that we serve a great King.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
So in 1 Peter, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4. There's tons of things that are going on in the Scripture. There's tons of meat that we can pull out from this scripture alone. I'm going to try to go through all of it if time permits. But let's just pray. 1 Peter 4, Lord, we just thank you, God, for this opportunity to meet together as one body. God, we just ask, Lord, that you would speak to us today, that you would open our hearts, that you would open our ears, our eyes, God, to see, to hear what you are saying in this message. I pray, Lord, that every word out of my mouth, God, would be of you. I pray, Lord, that you can bring us a revelation, God, of how good you are, even in our hard times, Lord. In your mighty name, amen.
Amen.
All righty. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, there's a lot of stuff going on. It's a different kind of scripture than what you're used to in church. Normally you come to church, you want to be encouraged, you want to hear like the good stuff, right? You want to hear about blessings. You know, who loves to hear about blessings when they come to church, right? Who wants to hear about, you know, say, Jesus conquering death for us and heaven, right? That's what we want to hear about. Or, you know, that's what we like those sermons, when all the happy, healthy, I'm going to go to heaven, everything is great, blessing. In 1 Peter 4, it's not talking about any of that stuff. It's talking about suffering. Ooh, everyone got all uncomfortable. It's talking about suffering. So this message about suffering isn't going to have anybody leaping out of their chair saying amen, okay? Not yet, anyway. Hopefully at the end we can. But for me, suffering isn't something I want to talk about. I don't want to remember bad things. I don't want to think about what can happen. I want to be encouraged by the good things. Tell me all the good things that are happening. Tell me, you know, God's going to get me through it. Tell me that it's never going to happen, that I'm going to be in this Christian Holy Spirit bubble, and all the bad things are just going to bounce off me, and I'm never going to have to experience or face a storm or a trial. But it's not the case. It's not the case. It's not the case of if you've been a Christian for 2 minutes or 2 years or 22 years, we still have trials and storms or suffering that we have to go through. And we may feel it's not fair, but it's just the way it is. Right? So for me, I've spent 32 years of my life, I spent about 12 years of my life trying to be the best Christian I can be. In that 12 years, 32 total, I've tried to do all that I possibly can to avoid all kinds of suffering. All kinds of suffering. If it's going to make me suffer, then I want nothing to do with it. Right? Big or small. If you want to go to in-law's birthday party, nope, because I'm going to be suffering there. I don't want to go there. I don't feel good. I don't want to go. Right? I want to avoid all the suffering. Traffic. What do we do when we're going somewhere and we need to be there quickly? We check our GPS, how long the traffic is. Okay, well, 32 minutes to get there. I'm going around the corner. Let me find a different route. I don't want to be suffering in traffic. Right? That's our life. That's what we do. We try to avoid suffering. We do not want to suffer. And I'm with you guys. For me, it started at school. You know, Steve, you got to do your homework. Homework, skateboarding. Let's go skateboarding. I don't want to suffer and do homework for 3 hours. What is that all about? Right? No one wants to suffer. I don't want to suffer. You don't want to suffer. I want to stay away from all things that is going to cause me to suffer. Okay? Everyone in this room is wired to avoid suffering. It's just the way it is. It's the way we're wired. No one is saying in this room, all right, God, here I am. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I want to follow you. I want to do everything that you've called me to do. Bring on the suffering. Does anyone say that? I'm not saying that, right? But in 1 Peter 4, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about be ready to suffer. So if you're a Christian in this room and you're living out your Christian life and something happens, a trial happens, a kick in the gut happens, and you're wondering, what the heck, where did that come from? 1 Peter 4 is saying be ready to suffer. It's not all going to be pretty. It's not all going to be, you know, walking hand in hand in rose gardens and singing songs. And there is going to be some suffering, especially in this world that we live in, the world that we face day to day. There will be suffering. I'm not saying it's fair, but I'm just preparing us because 1 Peter tells me to prepare my heart that there will be suffering. Does that make sense? I know it's different when it's us, but let's be honest. When you read it, when you're watching a movie, how many of you like movies when there's a good guy, and then the good guy just conquers the world very easily. There's no opposition, there's no storm, there's no trial, there's no backstory, there's no suffering, there's no nothing. It's just, hey, this is a good guy. Oh, now he wins. We don't like that. We like movies when there's opposition. We like movies when there's a story being told where there's a person or people that need to conquer this suffering or this pain, or there's some sort of trial and they need to go through it. We like those movies because it makes more sense, right? How many of you have ever read a biography about one of a famous person that you love or that you like, and there was no suffering in it? There was no pain in it? Never. The most famous people, the people that we love, people in the past or history that we know about, there has been suffering in everybody's life. It's just a matter of how they get through it or how they get over it, right? Now, I don't know how they did it, but I know how we can, and that's through Jesus, right? So let's read 1 Peter 4. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourself with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your life chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You've had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy. Their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. So they slander you. But remember that they will have to face God, who stands ready to judge everyone, both the living and the dead. That is why the good news was preached to those who are now dead. So although they were destined to die like all people, they now live forever with God in the Spirit. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from this great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. There's a lot going on there. There's about three preaches in this portion of Scripture. I'm going to try my best to kind of go through, pick out some things that I feel that are important for us that we can leave this morning with. Is that okay? So then, Christ suffered physical pain. You must arm yourself with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. So number one, if you're taking notes, we must arm ourselves with the same attitude that Christ had and expect suffering. As Christians living our lives, living set apart, walking in holiness, living differently from the rest of the world, we shouldn't be surprised when suffering comes. Believers living countercultural lifestyle would expect some jokes, some mockeries, some discrimination, some hateful words towards our way, because we're not living the same way as other people. So, of course, not everybody is going to fall in line with what we believe or what we think is the truth or the right way. There should be opposition in our lives, because there should be some backlash of people saying, whoa, why are you living like that? Why are you making those choices? Why are you doing the things you're doing? Why aren't you doing the same things I'm doing? Right? So it's not going to work out. We should expect some sort of some hate thrown our way, if not even violence. Now, I know when I started off to preach, I was making some jokes about Walmart. Believe me, Walmart's not the devil, but he's close. But there's people on the other side of the world that are facing some suffering. Okay? Maybe our suffering here in the Western world in LA, our suffering may look a little different, and I'm not here to say that your suffering is any less or any more than anybody else's, but as far as I know, I don't think our lives are in danger because of what we believe. Not yet, anyway. Okay, I'm not sure that we're getting stoned because we say we love the Lord. Okay, I'm not saying that we're getting arrested and beat for the things that we believe. Okay? At this point in time, when Peter is talking to these Christians, they're in the middle of it. They are in the middle of suffering. We're not talking about a flat tire on the road. We're talking about their lives being very, very in danger. Okay? So if their lives can be even in danger at this time and we have a flat tire, we can say, you know what? It's not that bad. Yeah. Right? It's not that bad. So we have to have the same attitude Christ had. We need to expect suffering. And I said, this may seem contradicting from what we normally hear at church. We talk about love and the blessings in heaven and everything is great, but it's not the case. There should be some people that are trying to silence what we're trying to get out, yeah. Right? We have on our walls, Mark 16:15, it says, and he said to them, go out into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. We would be silly to think that all creation is just going to be like, all right, I accept it. Yeah. There would be some opposition, sure. Right? So number one, we must arm ourselves with the same attitude that Christ had. In Isaiah 53, verse 3 to 5, just talking about this thing of Christ's attitude, it says, we despised him and rejected him. He endured suffering and pain. No one would even look at him. We ignored him as if he were nothing. But he endured, he endured the suffering that should have been ours, the pain that we should have borne. All the while, we thought that his suffering was punishment sent by God. But because of our sins, he was wounded, beaten because of the evil we did. We are healed by the punishment that he suffered, made whole by the blows he received. King Jesus taking this suffering on our behalf. The cross, all of our sin, poured upon him, breaking his body. The pain, the blood, the mockery, the hate, the suffering for you and I. Philippians 2 says, the attitude you should have, Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11, the attitude you should have is one that Christ Jesus had. He always had the nature of God. But he did not think that by force he should try to remain equal with God. Instead of this, of his own free will, he gave up all he had. He took the nature of a servant. He became like a human being and appeared in human likeness. He was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, his death on the cross. For this reason, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. And so, in honor of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven, on earth, and in this world below will fall on their knees and will openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we must arm ourselves with the attitude that Christ had. Not the attitude that we want, because our attitude is no bad stuff happened ever. It's honest. Nobody wants to wake up in the morning and have a flat tire. We want easy. We don't want traffic. We want to get to work. We want to have an easy day at work. We want all our coworkers to do their job so we don't have to do theirs, right? We want to go. We want to clock in, and we want to clock out. Easy day. That's what we want, and that's okay, but that's not what we should expect. What kind of attitude did Christ have? He was unselfish. He was servant-hearted. He was sacrificial. He was humble. He was obedient. King Jesus, this is the attitude that we need to have when we face trials and struggles and suffering. Right. King Jesus had the attitude knowing that he was going to the cross. He knew. He knew what was needed for us so we can live in eternity with him. And still never changed his attitude. Never said, you know what, this cross, it's too much. You know what, let's just get a cow, let's get a calf, let's get the biggest one we can find. That can do it. No. Sacrificial, humble, loving, unselfish. He took that cross for us. He took that suffering for us. So we need to have an attitude that Christ had. Number two, things that we need to do. We need to have, number one, we need to have an attitude that Christ had. Number two, we need to stop chasing our own desires. When I read 1 Peter, it says, so you won't spend the rest of your life chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. We need to stop chasing our own desires. How many of us find that hard? Now, that in itself is a bit of suffering, saying no to what you really want to do and follow Christ. Knowing your desire, know your will for your life, and laying that down so you can say, okay, Jesus, I want your will for my life. That can be hard, but it should be done, right? It's a struggle, it's a fight, it's hard, it's not easy, but we need to choose Jesus' will for our lives, right? We need to stop chasing our own desires. So you won't spend the rest of your life chasing your own desires. That's a long time, folks. That's a long time chasing our own desires, something that will never really truly be fulfilled, something that truly will never make us happy, but you know what? We got to just do it our way. We need to do what we want to do. But if we were to just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to lay that down and I'm going to follow God's will. That's what we need. But we think we're suffering. Enough of the past, enough of the selfish living, enough of living in the flesh, taking part of evil, and saying yes to the Lord's will for your life. It says, you have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting, drunkenness, and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. If we are going to be set apart, if we are going to be holy, then we really need to make a note at this portion of scripture right here. How am I living? How am I living? It may be hard to say no to the beer. It may be hard to say no to the girls. It may be hard to say no to the mind and what you really want to say. But are we choosing Jesus? Are we choosing Jesus over our own will and our own desires? I know that in church, you can't tell people not to do things because then they feel it's legalistic and you feel like, oh, the church is putting me on or putting stuff on me and making me live a certain way. But just read this. You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties, their terrible worship of idols. Does that sound like something a Christian should be even partaking in? Same. Does this sound like something you want to see, you know, Jody doing on a Friday night? Why is it any different? Right. Stop chasing our own desires. Yeah. Put on the attitude that Christ had. Humble, sacrificial, servant-hearted. Saying yes to Jesus, not our flesh. The days of enjoying sin is over. For those of us who are saying, I want this. I want to be a Christian. I want to walk forward with Jesus. I want to put on the attitude that he had. I want to be set apart. I want to be holy. Then we need to put our flesh to death. Philippians 1, verse 27 says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit, one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. 1 Peter 4 continues and says, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. So they slander you. But remember that they will have to face God, who stands ready to judge everyone, both the living and the dead. When I gave my life to the Lord in about late 2005, you got to understand that my friends were the world, like the world to me. They meant everything to me. It might sound weird or whatever, but that was my family. The people that I grew up with in middle school and high school, we were boys, we were tight. It was everything, right? We've all been there. We've all had some friends, friendships, and relationships that we thought were going to, you know, be there forever. But there came a point where that relationship and those friendships were unhealthy for me when I said yes to the Lord. So I needed to make the choice. Nobody told me what to do. No one said, hey, you need to stop doing this or doing that. But I just looked at the Bible. I listened to the songs we were singing, and I said, my life isn't matching up. So I needed to make that decision. I needed to say no to the friends. I needed to stop indulging in the sin and in the drunkenness and in the parties that they were walking into because that wasn't healthy for me. right? And it was hard. That alone is suffering. Watching your friends turn their backs on you. Young people, listen. You spend so much time with your friends thinking they're your boys, they're your BFFs. And then you make a decision and they say, I don't like that decision. Peace, we're not friends anymore. It's hard. It's hard. For years, we spent time in life, and we were never going to leave. We're going to be in each other's weddings. We're going to hold each other's babies. I have friends that are, I still friends with them now. I've never even met their kids. Just because it's weird. They don't like what I do. They don't understand what I do. They don't, why did you do that? My family turned their backs at some point and said, you're a Christian now? You're Christian now? You're going to church? You want to better your life? You want to fix your life? You don't want to live in evil anymore?
You're crazy.
That hurts. It hurts when people walk away. It was definitely suffering for me. It hurt, but I had to get to a place where in my life was more important than the sin and than the fun. If we're going to be holy, if we're going to be set apart, we need to make decisions now about how we're going to live. What needs to get cut off? Amen? When I read 1 Peter 4, it says that, you know, the world is going to end. I'm trying to get the exact words. The end of the world is coming soon. Same attitude that Christ had means we need to have some urgency in how we live. We need to have some urgency in what we do, the decisions that we make. Are we wasting time? Are we wasting opportunities in conversations with people that we need to have? Because the end of the world is coming soon. It was coming soon then. It's coming sooner now. Right? We don't know when. But we do know it's coming. And we need to see that our lives are aligned in such a way that we are right with God. And we're doing all that we can to make sure that other people are right with God too. And when we allow our friends or our families that live alternative lifestyles that are evil and not from God, then we need to do our best. We need to do our best. We need to be that light in the darkness. We need to be set apart where they're saying, why are you living so differently? Why is my marriage falling apart and your marriage is so good? Because of Jesus. We have an answer for that, amen? Because we will give an account for our lives here on earth. Now, this is an important one. This is important. On the day of judgment, we're going to be face to face with Jesus. We're not going to have our friends by us. We're not going to have our family by us. We're not going to have the boys with us. We're not going to have the girls with us. It's going to be you and Jesus face to face. And you're going to have to give an account for how you lived your life. And you're going to look to the right, nobody. Look to the left, it's you and God. Got to be holy. Got to be holy. We need to have the attitude that Christ had. We need to stop chasing our own desires. We need to have urgency because we are going to give an account for our lives here on earth. Philippians 2:14 says, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in the world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then one day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that the work was not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, we should rejoice, and I will share your joy. Amen. Continues, says that is why the good news was preached to those who are dead. So although they were destined to die like all people, they now live forever with God in the Spirit. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sin. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from a great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have a blessing of speaking? Then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. Do you have a gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you would do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. Love well, serve well, be set apart. Love well, serve well, be holy. And when we do these things, no matter how much it might be hard, no matter how much it might be uncomfortable, no matter how much it just makes us feel weird, when we do these things, we know that our lives are going to bring glory to God. So it might be hard to cut out the friends. It might be hard to cut out the partying. It might be hard to change and transform your way of thinking, of doing your own desires and living the way you want to. But it's important because lives are counting on it. Your life is counting on it. The other people's lives are around you looking at you are counting on it. See, when Jesus came to die, he didn't die for himself. He died for others. He sacrificed himself for others. He laid down his life, his will for others. We as Christians, as believers, are called to live the same way. And it's not easy. We got 10 more minutes. Still tons of scripture to go through. Continuing on verse 12 in 1 Peter 4. And this is when it gets a little straightforward. It says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs, but it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian." Someone say amen.
Amen.
"Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fates awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news? And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners? So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right, and you trust your life to God who created you, for he will never fail you." Amen. Do not be surprised. Sometimes we're still surprised by it. But what's happening here in this portion of Scripture, I'm telling you, when it's talking about fiery trials, the people are being lit on fire. In this portion of Scripture. Yeah. Christians are proclaiming the name of Jesus and they are getting sent to be burned alive. Yeah. That's suffering. Yeah. That's suffering. Let that sink in. It's not happening now. Maybe it'll happen in the future. I think it's kind of clear what's going to happen in the future. Do not be surprised. Don't act like it's something strange. But be very glad in our suffering. Rejoice in our suffering. Yeah. James 1 says, "Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds." Yeah. I don't know about you, but when bad things happen, I'm not very happy. Yeah. I don't want to jump up for joy. Sweet, yes, my car just got stolen. Awesome. Right? Oh, my friends just all called me names and they left me. I don't feel very happy, but all right, let's be glad in it. That's not our first thought. That's not our first thing that we want to do, but it's saying, be glad. I'll tell you why in a bit. When bad things happen to us, sometimes you might hear the question of, you know, where's your God when that happens? If God is so good, where's God? When things like that happen, when people get ill and they get sicknesses or they're on their deathbed and you're praying for healing and they're not getting healed, when you lose your home, when you things that you want, your businesses crash, where's your God? I thought you were a Christian. I thought you believed in Jesus and worshiped him. What happened? Where's your God? If God is so good, why are bad things happening to you? You know what? You need to just stop the Christian stuff and the believing thing and the church thing, and you just need to walk the other way. You know, you should just curse God. But we read about that in Job, right? But that's not the kind of attitude that Christ had. That's not the kind of heart that Christ had. So it says, if you're suffering in a manner that pleases God, suffering in a manner that pleases God. So basically, in our suffering, we have to make sure that we're, see if I can word this right. I'm going to have this on my notes. But if we're serving Christ with all that we have, and everything we're doing, we seem to keep getting kicked in the gut or punched in the gut, we're suffering for the Lord. Now, if you're in this room and you're not really serving God and things are bad, things are happening, I just want to say, and I know it's weird, but you need to come to God. You need to come to God because we're only blessed in a manner that pleases God. So if you find yourself in this room suffering right now and you don't know Jesus, then I can't wait to pray for you at the end of this service. But as Christians and believers now, if we're suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep doing what is right. And trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. So even in our suffering, when we feel that bad things are happening, God is still not failing us. No matter what we feel and what we think is happening. Reading the Bible, there's something that pops up when I read it. And it's this idea, this thing of suffering, then glory. All throughout the Bible, we see there's portions of scriptures where people are in prison, people are getting stoned, people are getting thrown into fiery furnaces, and they're suffering for a small period of time, but then there's glory. Even if you look at Jesus' life, there's suffering, and then there's glory. Now he seats on the right hand of the throne in heaven. And I believe that's something for us as well, where there's suffering. Yes, the suffering, it's the life we live, but then there's glory. When we persevere and when we continue to walk forward, when we continue to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, when we continue to just line our hearts with his suffering and his plan for our lives, then we will see the glory. Sometimes we must suffer first to receive the glory. Jesus suffered, then he was seated on the right hand of the throne in heaven. We may suffer now, but soon we will all be enjoying all the eternity has to offer. Suffering for a small period of time. Bad things, trials, storms. It's only a matter of time before the glory happens. Four things that I read in the scriptures of 1 Peter 4:12. You know, we are blessed in the suffering. Number two would be, we get to share in Christ's suffering. We get to live like Christ. Christ lived this way. We get to too. It may sound like it's a terrible deal, but I'm promising you, we get to walk with God. In suffering, we see the presence of God, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, the last 8 years of my life, how long have you had this church? 7 years? Eight years? It's been the best time of my life. Not just saying that. Serving God for the last 12 years of my life, best decision I've ever made. I've seen blessings. I have seen people, I have seen him, I have seen such an amazing thing that I would never thought that I would ever experience in going to church. Just going to church, it's weird. But I've seen so much, I've heard, I've seen so many great people in my life, the best years of my life, 12 years of serving Christ. The last 8 years of this place, it has been amazing. And it's also been the hardest for me. I have lost kids, I have lost mothers, I have lost tons of stuff. Jobs, it has been hard. And so much so where you're feeling, man, God, where are you? Where are you? I was trying not to cry. I'm telling you, when my mom passed, that was the worst thing. That's cool. When my mom died 7 years ago, that was the worst thing. And it was the worst thing in my life so far. There was a week. She passed away on Sunday. We buried her on Friday. I've never felt the Holy Spirit as much as I did that week. And I, to this day, I pray, God, I want to feel you the way I felt you that week. Do I have to suffer like that so I can feel you the way I felt you? It's a reality. I have not felt God the way I felt him that week. And it was a terrible experience. It was the worst experience. And half of me is like, if I need to go through that so I can feel you the way I felt you, then bring it on. It's been terrible. I mean, it was terrible feeling, but it was amazing. We get to share in Christ's suffering. We get to feel him in new ways. We get to see him move in new ways. We get to hear him and just see him in new ways. In Scripture, when Stephen is getting stoned, he's in the middle of dying, and he's about to get stoned, and he said, I can see God. I can see the Son of Man. Even in the suffering, even in the place where he's about to die, he feels and sees God like he's never felt him. Suffering develops character. It strengthens us as we persevere. It helps us trust God in ways that ways that we never thought we can trust when we have just no hope. And there's suffering, and it's painful, and it hurts. And we just throw up our hands and say, all right, no more of my will, no more of what I want. God, take the will. So sometimes in the suffering, we experience God in so much new ways and so much stronger ways than we could if everything was just going great. So if you're suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to God who created you. For he will never fail you. Lord, we just thank you, God, for this morning. Lord, and I thank you, God, for those who are here, those who have may suffer, those who might find themselves in the midst of a storm and trial now. God, I pray, Lord, that you would show yourself so, so, so strong and heavy, Lord, in their lives. Lord, I pray, God, that in their obedience to you, God, I pray that we would just begin to let go of our suffering. We will let go of our pain. We will let go of our trials and storms and say, God, you deal with it. You take it. Lord, I pray, God, that we would change our heart to suffering, Lord, where we wouldn't feel like you're not there in the midst of our pain, but we would know that you're even there, even stronger, God, through it, that you're seeing us through, that you're getting us through it, that you're walking through it with us, God. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. I pray, God, that we would be blessed. I pray that even though we're not leaping for joy, saying, yay, bring on the suffering, God, but we would know that we have an answer for when that comes. Absolutely. And that answer is you, Lord. Yes. We wouldn't turn away when things get too hard. We wouldn't turn away when things get tough, God, but we would turn to you and we would walk through any fiery furnace, knowing that you are right there with us, God. So, Lord, I pray, God, that as RLA, as church, as believers, Lord, that we will live lives set apart despite what may happen, despite any troubles we might see. Lord, when we begin to say yes, that we will allow that your will just shape our lives, that your purpose for us, God, will shape our lives. Lord, I pray, God, that we would be blessed. And I pray, God, that you would be glorified through our lives. Help us live lives that are set apart for you. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
Awesome. Thanks, Steve. If you guys wouldn't mind standing this morning, I want to just pray for a few of us. Portion of the scripture there, it says, administering God's grace through the suffering. Isn't that amazing? That grace is unmerited favor. And as we suffer, we're still able to administrate the grace of God to others. And that's exactly what Steve did this morning with us, knowing a lot of his testimony and what they've been through. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I definitely want to pray for you. If I could just have you guys just close your eyes for a second. And you know, this morning you might be going through it today. You might have came here this morning saying, Lord, I need something from you because I'm going through it. I'm in the middle of it. Whether it's self-inflicted or been placed upon you by the world around you, people around you. You know, this portion of Scripture, Peter wasn't speaking to the unchurched. He was speaking to the churched. Sometimes we think we come to church and we're all perfect, we're all sinless, we're all, you know. No, he was speaking to the church. He's speaking to us this morning. So this morning, if you feel like, hey, I need an encounter with Jesus this morning. I just want to relieve some of this stress. I want to relieve some of this suffering, God. I'm going through it, and I know that this burden is heavy. But you say your yoke is easy and your yoke is light. And this is the exchange we make. This is how we're able to get through, is with Jesus. So if it's you, I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to ask you to do anything silly. I just want to, just as you acknowledge it this morning, just allow God to just meet you right where you're at. If you're experiencing suffering this morning, I just want to pray for you. Just raise your hand so I could see you and let God acknowledge it. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you see the hands that are lifted. Lord, you know those who are desperate for an encounter with you. Lord, you know those who are desperate to see you even in the midst of their darkness, even in the midst of their trial, even in the midst of their fire, God. Just like so many of the examples that Steve gave us in his preach, Lord, I ask that we're able to see you even in the middle of it all. We're able to see you in the storm. We're able to see you in the midst of persecution. We're able to see you in the midst of sacrifice. Lord, your sons and daughters who are raising their hand this morning, I pray they're able to not only see you, but they're able to prophetically see the outcome. That in the end, Jesus, you receive all the glory. Lord, change our mindsets. Let us have the attitude of Christ. That we are willing to endure suffering because our Savior was willing to endure it for us. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Lord, thank you for this message. Lord, I pray as we are in the midst of this holiday season and looking forward to Christmas and family, Lord, sometimes so many emotions are stirred up. Lord, loss comes to mind. Family who've passed, relationships that have been broken. Lord, I pray even in those times, Lord, we will find you. I pray truly it'll be a joyous season for every person in this place as we know that Christ is the light of the world. And because of that, we can choose. We can choose to live as lights as well. Lord, bless your children today. We love you. We honor you. We're so thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you guys.